Hey, everybody. It's so good to be back together again. And to those who we just had a great time at the leadership retreat with, thank you so much for making time to be a part of that retreat. Because what we experienced in terms of the food, the fellowship, and especially the presence of God was so special to my heart. And I know it was special to a lot of your hearts. And we did it in spite of an ice storm, didn't we? What a crazy week in Texas to have an ice storm hit us. But today, I'm really looking forward to our time together because we're going to talk about how to live in Ephesians 3:20 this year, where God's doing even greater than what we could think. He's doing things beyond our power to bring to pass. And we're going to talk about it not just in a, you know, kind of a theoretical way, but I'm going to talk very practically about times where I know as a pastor, God moved us forward. And it wasn't because I preached better. It wasn't because I led better. It was just because His power was at work in the midst of the church and the people and me as the pastor. We were in unity in terms of what the Holy Spirit was up to. Got my very dear friend with me today who has sure seen the Holy Spirit do a lot all over the world, Eric Smith, who is he's a partner with us in Significant Church. Eric, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Pastor Jim. I'm looking forward to just talking about joining God in the impossible today because we know with God, all things are possible, right? And I agree with you. What a great retreat. We had such wonderful speakers. We had, Daniel Grothe, as a place, what great message he delivered. Then you had some powerful message yourself, Pastor Jim, the time at hand and your very last message you preached, which really stirred my heart, was the task at hand. Pastor Jeffrey did a great job as well. People need your church. I mean, all these messages really built upon each other. And every pastor I spoke with just was so blessed, so encouraged, and really enjoyed the retreat. It's one of those things where I mark on my calendar. I know you do as well to be there every year. It seems like they get better every year. But I'm believing God today just to really encourage lots of pastors because, you know, again, God can do anything with anybody. We just got to be available. And I believe increase is coming to everyone watching us today.
Yeah. You know, I love the scripture that says that Jesus is the high priest and the apostle of our faith. And high priest means he brings us in connection to God. Apostle means he establishes things in the earth, right? And so for Significant Church, part of why God had it established was simply because Jesus is the high priest. And for a lot of us, we didn't think we'd be a pastor. We didn't think we'd be a ministry. But when Jesus connected us to God, God said, no, this is a role I have for you to play. And then Jesus wants to be the apostle. The things he's put in our heart to establish in our towns, in our neck of the woods, per se, God raised up Significant Church to help people reach the dream God put in their heart through relationships that have the resources attached with them, but most of all, you enjoy the relationships, right? That's what it's like with Jesus. I show up and I love him. Next thing you know, he has me doing things I never dreamed I'd get to be a part of. And so for me, that's the special part of Significant Church. I mean, it was hard to go to bed every night. We were just having such a good time together in relationships. And but Eric, boy, there's been a lot of pastors that have joined in this last year, and now it's just exciting to see pastors coming together and realizing we're to be brothers and sisters to each other. That's what Jesus prayed for in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's what Jesus wants.
Absolutely. And I love the statement I think you've said many times. We're better together, right? There's strength in numbers. The Bible says one could put 1,000 in flight, two could put 10,000 in flight. Ecclesiastes 4:12 talks about three, four colds not easily broken. When we're together, we're just stronger. You know, there's like faith. And, what I'm encouraged by is, SEN is here. Significant Church is here to bless pastors in so many ways. And I love the story, Pastor Jim, of how Significant Church got birthed. It's a great story. Of course, it's your story. You know, when you're driving through the small towns of East Texas and God began to stir your heart. I mean, I get blessed every time I hear that story. And I don't know if everyone on the network or those watching days have ever heard that before.
Yeah, well, to me, it even started in the heart of my dad because my dad was, I grew up with a bunch of uncles that were good athletes. One of them played for the Kansas City Athletics, and then he ended up, he's a director of scouting for the Pittsburgh Pirates when I was a kid. So the We Are Family teams, I mean, he was putting those together back in the day. And I have another uncle who was a executive with about like a $200 million-plus construction firm every year. I mean, he was the, you know, top dog doing all that. And my dad, he lived by my grandfather, who was a foreman of a plant, and he bought a farm in retirement. And my dad was a researcher, so he would research things, and with PPG, he was a part of even seeing new plants open with research that happened. But ultimately, my dad did that in the day, and I never thought about the fact he was a researcher at PPG. I thought about the fact he was a volunteer fire guy. You know, he's this group of guys that came together, and when the fire whistle blew and the alarms went off, he was out, and our town of 1,000 had somebody who cared about that fire being put out. I cared about him being my little league coach, you know, who led us to win the county in the All-Stars. But my dad just, he'd tell me over and over again, I love small towns. And what's funny is I could have been born to anybody, right? But that's who God chose to have me born to. And so then I, you know, go to ORU originally to play baseball and to go to college. And then I'm just in big churches and big places. And I married Tamara Osteen, whose dad has a big church in one of the biggest metroplexes of the area. And I get invited to speak in a small town, and I speak, and God starts dealing with my heart. And it goes good. And 4 years later, I get offered a church the size of mine now in one of the major metropolitans of the U.S. And I'm thinking I'm going to go just because my heart has always just been to pastor people. Our church, I feel like the call in our church is to help people that I went to school with who didn't get it. They really help them experience redemption through a relationship with God. And so I love the pastor, and I love missions. I love what I see Christianity does to cultures all over the world where there's darkness and pain. So I was content to do that the rest of my life. And if what I did produced a bigger mission budget, then that was good, right? That was my thinking. But when I went to say yes to the pastor, God gave me an undeniable no. And that's when what you referred to happened, where I was driving through East Texas, and I came to a small town, looked at a beautiful football stadium, and God said, your mission is to help there be great churches in every one of these towns they're more excited about than the best football teams. So, of course, we came home, built this campus that we're in now, and originally, Eric, we just traveled, and I did a survey, and I found out where God was doing cool things in smaller counties. And I'd just fly out and meet with guys, and we'd talk. And eventually it grew into a relational network that has a mission for America, but also around the world, where churches, where people are underserved by the local church.
Yeah, and it's so important. Again, you know, the statistic I've heard that really has shocked me the most, but it is a true viable statistic, is that 64% of ministers today say they're not connected to anybody. Yeah. So they feel like islands all to themselves. They're, you know, they're many of them, some of them are bivocational. Some are, you know, doing all they can to be the best pastor they can be, the best father, the best husband, you know, to a family. And you know, some of the most amazing pastors I know in the world today have churches of less than 150 people. But they've been faithful, they've been rooted, they love their city, they love their community. And I love to see their faithfulness, right? Because they're not looking for their next opportunity. They're not looking to, you know, to step up to, you know, what might be considered greater success. They're happy and they're content because they're in the will of God. And they know God's called them to a city to have impact and be significant and make their, you know, make a difference in that city itself.
Yeah, well, it's interesting to me when we have our conferences, and of course, we just had an annual conference, but in the past, I did regional conferences too. And I'd always ask people, hey, tell me how God called you. Tell me why you stayed. You know, I'd ask questions like that. And so many times people were either from that exact community or at least from the region, more often than not. And there was just a call there. You know, you talk about incredible pastors. I'm seeing their names right here. Joe Caminiti, Gary Hart, Steve, of course, Steve Mills is with Surge, Michael Crawley, Paul Olson, Chuck Tate. If it's not for these guys, then, you know, too many times and all I could name the surveys that talk about it, but the church is stagnant. But God's doing something. Jesus is the apostle. He's the high priest of our faith. And he's up to something that I know you and I are both excited about being a part of.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the best days of ministry is right ahead of us, right, Pastor Jim? You know,
yeah.
We live in a day and age where technology, you think even 20 years ago, 25 years ago, the internet wasn't even established, right? We didn't have the ability to send emails or communicate, you know, through text messaging or through, you know, various IPTV platforms, those kind of things. I mean, to think about, I think about sometimes when I'm on planes, and I'm on planes quite a bit, you know, flying, you know, sometimes 14, 15 hours on a single flight. I think about sometimes, what would Jesus be thinking right now?
You know,
hopping on a donkey and maybe getting 8, 10, 12 miles. I mean, and preaching and stopping and getting a crowd of several thousand and sharing the goodness of God and praying for people, those kind of things. And I think just to think about the ability that God's blessed us with. And I really believe it's the scripture. It says, you know, God said that when Jesus left, that greater works would we do. And we think about greater works than Jesus. Well, we're talking about greater exponential because we have more availability to technology. And we can be on a Zoom call sometimes in front of 5 to 10 million people. It's just amazing the day that we live in. And we said this before, you know, the light shines the brightest when it's the darkest, right? So I think we have the greatest days of church history have yet to be established. And what an exciting time to be a part of that.
Yeah. You know, Eric, I did a funeral this morning and I laughed with the people. I said, I like to think of myself as middle-aged, but if I'm middle-aged, that upper number's pretty high right now, you know? So I'm a little older than when I started. And so I've seen, you know, 3 to 4 decades of what churches have done. And I shared this at the conference, and I want people to understand that this is, I'm going to talk about non-denominational churches, but I'm going to broaden this. And that is that in the last 10 years, and everybody's saying America's going to hell and things are horrible. Well, non-denominational churches grew from 12,200,000 people to 21 million people in America. And God's doing something, and I just think some of these churches are a catalyst. And I think God's going to be moving in everywhere he's got a heart that wants to follow him. The label doesn't matter, the heart does, right? He shows himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are turned towards him. But as I was speaking today, you know, this guy was 89 years old. He was a Catholic, and he was one of my ushers, and he really wanted me to do the funeral. And he was a Golden Gloves boxer. He won Golden Gloves, so he kind of had a little affection in my heart. And anyways, I was just speaking. I was thinking how differently even the Catholic community sees us now than they did 40 years ago. And Eric, we just have a sacred trust. I don't know how else to put it. But we have to win the heart of our communities. We have to win the heart of our nation again. And we have to bring to the world what Jesus is dreaming about in the world. And I know that's why you're doing what you do. I mean, you had the Lord speak to you really clearly about the harvest that we're supposed to reap in this hour that we're in.
Yeah. When I was, many of you probably know, when I had the opportunity and the pleasure to serve R.W. Schambach as his crusade director for 17 years, early into my working for him, the Lord, I was in my prayer time, and the Lord spoke to me and said, Eric, I want you to win 100 million souls. And I thought to myself, God, I'm not called to preach. I don't speak behind the pulpits. I do the behind the scenes stuff. And I thought, Lord, I, you know, according to your faith being unto you, God, because I must admit, I'm not sure my faith was there. I'm thinking, how in the world can I do this? I just line up crusades for Brother Schambach. And I thought, well, hey, maybe through Brother Schambach, you know, we can win, you know, 1,000 here and 5,000 there. But as the Lord, you know, began to, you know, expand my understanding and expand what God was calling me to do, and when we launched Smith Media Group, you know, when we have hundreds of ministries having the opportunity to preach the gospel on TV, on through Zooms, and doing meetings all across America, around the world, I see now the way the Lord could put this together. And I think to date, and we try to keep track of this, it's kind of hard, it's kind of a moving target, but to the best of our knowledge, we've seen, I think, 34.6 million people come to Christ over the 28 years we've been doing this.
Wow.
In churches and in ministry events and stadiums here in America and all around the world. So I'm only a third of the way there, but I'm excited. You know, it's one of the greatest things I'm excited about with Significant Church is because, you know, Pastor Jim, over the last 23 months or so, we've seen 772 new pastors connected with the network. We're in 30 nations of the world right now, and these pastors are being encouraged, they're being empowered, And they're getting like-minded faith. They're saying, you know what, God, if Brother Schaumbach and Teal Osborne could do it back in those days, we can do it again today. And so it's just exciting to see the way the network has continued to evolve, the way it's continued to grow. They love, of course, your leadership, Pastor Jim, and the leaders here within Significant Church. And I just, again, they love these webinars. They look at these as their lunch hours where they get a chance to talk to some wonderful pastors who want to connect with them and encourage them and empower them. And it's a blessing to be a part of this network. It's a blessing to be alive today. And I'm excited. I think I'm believing God over the next 20 years that hopefully we can get a whole lot closer to 100 million. And through God's help and through God's grace, we're going to do our best.
Yeah, let's do it and have a party here and then a bigger one in heaven. How's that sound, right? That's
amen,
what we want to do. Well, I want to say this, Eric, that what's in my heart today is to help the pastor who feels like, I know God has a call on me. I know Jesus is the apostle and high priest of my faith. And I know that he's put things in my heart I'm supposed to reach, but I'm not reaching them. And we all know in Ephesians 3, the Bible says, okay, we got to get our hearts rooted in God's power better. And then that's going to happen. So for me, I remember when I was here for almost 2 months and nobody got saved. And I was the new pastor, and that's not a good feeling when you go home. The truth is, the church had to work on our reputation in town. There was so much to work on. It wasn't all me. And I would think about how I preached for my father-in-law, Brother Osteen, and yeah, he'd see 60 or 70 saved, and I'd see 40, you know? So I wasn't his level, but I could preach and people get saved. So I knew it wasn't all me. And when I went on that fast, and the Lord unveiled Luke 14 to me, that God's house is like to be a great banquet that when people come, and the poor are to get rich insights to live by, the crippled are to find strength to walk into, or to find healing for what's hurt them, the lame are to find strength to walk into new dreams, and the blind are to see things. Oh my goodness, I haven't seen how important Jesus is for all these years. When God did that, I instantly, Eric, went from confusion to confidence. I mean, instantly. I stood before the church, went from confusion to confidence, and we had 365 people saved before that year was out. And the church doubled that first year. Now, did I become a greater preacher overnight? Absolutely not. All that happened was God gave me a revelation that started changing things. And that's why I love doing these webinars. That's why I love doing the things that we do here, is because we want to bring you the best practices, because if we all share our revelation from Jesus, we're going to be a lot better together than we are by ourselves. And so I'm going to have you share what you do, Eric. We're going to have the joy of welcoming some new pastors to the network too. But for me, there's four things that God put on my heart to do to help pastors. Number one, webinars every 2 weeks, so you're not there alone. And we talked about small counties, but the truth is we have a lot of people from bigger cities now because they feel like, hey, I'm in a community just like you are, and I want to hang with these guys. So we have the webinars every 2 weeks. We have a ministry warehouse where you get a lot of free stuff, free artwork to use, free. You just have to go there to see all the free stuff you get. And then the third thing that this is the thing that we offer from Faith Family Church and the church is combined with us. We offer the webinars, we offer the warehouse, then we offer exchanges. And exchanges are where our local connectors begin to make sure that pastors aren't alone. 64% of them feel like they're out there without brothers and sisters in the faith. And some of our local connectors do their meetings themselves. Some of them will provide resources that you can use in a small group setting if you want to. And then the final thing is our annual conference, which, you know, for me, I just felt the pleasure of God. It's the only way I can say it. He's happy with what we're up to. And at the end of the day, most of us don't need somewhere else to preach, but we love to leave an environment where we felt the presence and the pleasure of God. So, Eric, I'll welcome people, and then I'm going to let you just talk about how you and I came together and how pastors can reach the world in a way they never dreamed they could, right? But first of all, let me just welcome, we have 21 new members to welcome these 2 weeks. And I'm going to put your name up on the screen for just about 10 seconds so that people in your region can see who you are. You can see there's seven of them right there. We can go to slide 2. And you'll see in slide two that we have even more people. And it's such, so exciting for me to see places that I've been, see places that I've never heard of, because it's a small town that maybe nobody's talked about. And here's the, I believe this is the third slide. And we want to welcome all of you guys. We believe in you. We know Jesus believed in you. That's why he called you. And it brings us such joy to see pastors and their families rejoice in the fulfillment of the dream that God has for their life. So, Eric.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Jim. And one other thing we love doing too, Pastor Jim, right, is we love promoting those pastors in those cities. So we do as a free service is we want to put your church on the significant church map. And that means that when people are doing Google searches and doing word searches, looking for churches, we want yours to pop up first. And so we always want to make sure people know that too, that we want to make sure that we can get your church recognized as diligent as we possibly can. And through search engine optimization, we're able to do that, you know, on the significant church website. So yeah, it's been great. And one of the things that when we first came together, Pastor Jim, I had sent you a message through Messenger and said, Pastor Jim, you know, we have a magazine called Lead that goes out to almost 100,000 pastors and 1.2 million people. And Pastor Jim, you're a wonderful leader. I'd love to have you put an article in there. And I remember you saying you were a little hesitant. You know, you were slow getting back to me. Say, hey, can we have a conversation? And we had the privilege of talking to each other, and we kind of got caught up on, you know, many years of not connecting very much. But you know, I had the and so at the end of the day, we began talking about how we could work together and we could combine, you know, what we're doing on the Smith Media Group side with how we can bless and impact churches on Significant Church. And so not only did I get a wonderful article from yourself, we began talking about, you know, how we could create a package, a level that could really be a blessing to pastors, and how these pastors could be impacted today, not something they have to wait on 6 months or 12 months from now, you know. And so what we did was, I remember one of the things you shared with me. You said, now, Eric, I want to make sure we're giving these pastors more value than they can ever imagine. I want them to be just in awe that we would be able to offer these kind of services for a very little, you know, amount of money. So we created a connector level called Local Connector. And these are pastors that get 7 services for just $100 a month investment into Significant Church. And as we always like saying, I always want to make sure it's emphasized, you know, Pastor Jim doesn't get any salary from Significant Church. The monies that we receive from here just goes in helping us reach more pastors, make them significant, let them tap into resources. So, but as a local connector, what we've found, you know, in a lot of churches, especially smaller communities, especially churches that might be bivocational, they need assistance in some areas. So what we decided is one of the services we like to bless pastors with is we love to put together a brand new website for them up to 7 pages. It's going to be typically WordPress. We're going to help them with SEO optimization, which means when people are doing Google searches, again, looking for their church, they're going to find their church because of it. But a website is still probably your biggest marketing piece as a church. And so it's important for that website to represent you well, to have the who, what, when, and why. It's got to be easy to navigate, right? It's got to be easy. You got to be able to find the material quickly. And so as a local connector, this is one of the services you can get for your gift of just $100 to Significant Church. And for many pastors that say, listen, I have a website I'm pretty comfortable with, but hey, would you look through it and maybe give us some guidance into maybe some pages we might want to consider? And again, it's my team's honor to do just that. So that's what you get, one aspect as a local connector. The second one is staying with the websites is, you know, we also create tons of banners and sliders that you can put on your website. And one of those things is literally we encourage churches, you know, when you go to a website, if they don't see movement, right? If they don't see where a banner's been changed, or they don't see a video that's been kind of taken down, new one's been put up, sometimes they get the wrong impression. They think there's nothing's actually been has changed at all. But with the website and these banners that we create, because you're a local connector, you're going to have access to backside information where you can grab a banner that's topical. It could be about Easter, could be Christmas, could be Father's Day, Mother's Day. But it's a great way. It's going to represent you well, and it's easy to put on, take down, those kind of things. So you also get that as a local connector. And then, as I was saying earlier, we also create 15 pre-made social media posts that we'll create, and you'll have access to. So right now, you know, obviously social media is not going anywhere anytime soon, right? So we want to create a post that'll be a seed of righteousness that you can plant on people's lives. And that will go, that, you know, that can go on Instagram, that can go on Facebook, can go on Twitter, can go on other platforms. And as a church, your team does not have to create these things. These are, there are going to be memes on there. There's going to be wonderful posts. You can put your own you can put your own text in there if you choose to, but it's another way again of having impact and let people know about your church and your intentions to see them blessed and see increase in their lives. So social media is a big thing, and you get that as well as a local connector. The other thing that we've done for quite some time now is we also will give you a live stream platform that will be embedded onto your website as you become a local connector. And with the live stream, obviously, it's a great way of getting the gospel outside the four walls of your church. Now, with live streaming, you also have an encoder. And the beauty of our encoder, it will not only allow you to stream through your website, but also allow you to stream to Facebook and to Periscope through Twitter or YouTube. So if you already have maybe Facebook Live in your arsenal, whether you're doing on a weekly basis or something else, you can still use those while you simultaneously stream through your website. But we always encourage churches to think about this. You know, I encourage you to continue to use social media, no doubt about it, but it's better when you drive the traffic through your website, because when the service is over, your Sunday morning message is over, or your midweek service is over, it automatically archives to your website. And what happens is your people go back and listen to point two, point three, point four again. And we know the more we get the word in people's hearts and spirits and they apply that, we're going to see great things happen. So at the end of each month, you'll get monthly analytics showing you the city, the state, and the country that your live stream has an impact on. And again, it's usually one of those things. Barna has proven this study. Usually there's three things people look at before they attend a church. First of all, they'll actually look at your website. They're going to look at your social media, some of your posts. And if you do have a live stream or have an archive, they're going to want to click on that because they want to get a feel for what the church is, you know, the pastor speaking, those kind of things. So it's so important to have just those three assets. And again, as a local connector, whether you're a church of two people, a church of 20 people, a church of 200 people, those are available to you as a local connector. And it's a great way, of course, getting your message out. And one of the things that I'm most excited about that we've been doing now since COVID hit, I've shared this story a couple of times, but one of the things we've done for many years, I've traveled the world, been to 54 countries, been to over 1,500 churches myself personally here in the United States. And when the world shut down, when COVID literally closed not only the world down, but the United States down, I said, Lord, I have so many wonderful men of God that want to get this gospel out in big scale, but we can't go anywhere. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, please give me wisdom what to do. The Bible says, if I lack it, I can go to you, God, and you'll give it to me liberally. And the Lord gave me one word. And at that point in time, this word is very synonymous now, but be mindful, this is going back into early 2020. And it was the word Zoom. And I thought, Lord, I'm working like 90 to 100 hours a week right now. Am I not working fast enough for you? I don't understand what you're trying to tell me. And I must admit, I should have stayed more patient. I should have probably stayed on my knees, but I got impatient. I don't know if anybody else gets that way from time to time. But I went on Google, and I Googled it. And I said, what is Zoom? And it explained to me it's an internet-based technology company. It's similar to Skype. And I thought, well, okay, Lord, I've done Skype with ministries and pastors, that kind of stuff. That's okay. So, Lord, now that I think I know what you're talking about, what am I supposed to do with this? And he said, Eric, you know network TV owners personally. You got their cell numbers and your cell number. And what I want you to do is I want you to reach out to them with this idea, this concept that you're going to bring men and women of God that are going to bring faith, hope, and demonstration to a world that's in fear, a world that's going through anxiety because of COVID. No one's knowing what to do. Everyone's scared. They're going to die, that kind of stuff. So I did exactly what the Lord told me to do. I called one network, Pastor Jim. And I shared what the Lord had given me, and the network owner said, you know what, let's start next week. And I thought, wow, Lord, that was kind of easy. Praise God. And then I called another one, and the guy said the same thing, Eric, let's do this. We got to give hope to the world. And then I called another one. We went from doing zero Zoom meetings on worldwide live TV to doing 150 live TV events a month right now. So. Wow. It is just amazing to see the way the Lord has opened this up. And you've done a few of these yourself, Pastor Jim.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Pastors have done as well.
Yeah. You know, basically, Eric, I'm going to just put them in two categories. Number one, you're going to help pastors with technology. You know, on our end, we're helping people with access to leaders. You know, you don't have to leave your house. You can just come on here. We're bringing best practices to you from across the country every 2 weeks. We're giving you high-level graphic artists and people that it's hard to hire in the life of a church. We're giving it all to you free just to help you. Then we're vetting people who say, no, I know Jesus wants us more connected. We're giving you regional relational opportunities. And then finally, at the annual conference, we're giving you just a time. And the conference starts Monday night. It ends Wednesday at noon, but most people stay till Friday. And we always have it somewhere where you and your spouse or you and your team are going to have some fun while you're there. So those are the four things we give. But on your end, you're helping them with technology, which is huge, especially guys my age. That's huge, okay? But the second thing you're helping them with is evangelism. When I got on and I did, along with other significant church pastors, I think we all gave like 20-minute messages that we preached Sunday for most of us. And then we just sat back and, wow, one guy finishes, 30,000 people call in. And I think if I got it right, like 20,000 people get saved. And then another one does it. It happens again. And so you think, wow, this is really an amazing tool right here. And then not only that, but literally we have guys who will sit in their sanctuary, call in their intercessors and preach a message here that you put into Pakistan. And they can see the people sitting in the seats out there in Pakistan. And we're helping local pastors in out of the way places pull in a harvest for their churches because people just want to hear an American talk. And then a third step is throughout Africa, if we'll put it in, is it a video link? Is that what you ask people?
It's a pre-recorded message. Pre-recorded message.
Then again, you're doing that throughout Africa. So pastors are waking up with a lot of help in terms of, and again, I just want to go back to Jesus as the apostle and the high priest of your faith. And that I'm busy. Like Eric said, I don't take a penny because I got a church to pastor. I'm busy pastoring my church. But one day a week, God's asked me to give to Significant Church. And the purpose is for you to have the resourcing God wants you to have through relationships you enjoy. And, you know, on the technology side and on the evangelism side, for your church to reach around the world, like Jesus said it could in Acts 1:8. I mean, it's just such a tremendous opportunity.
Yeah, and I tell you, you know, I try to sometimes give like a synopsis like this. You know, and I talk to so many pastors who are part of Significant Church are doing this on a monthly basis. Pastor Jim, they're loving. The congregations are so excited seeing their pastor, again, sometimes preaching the gospel, again, in front of 5 to 10 million people. Now, I sometimes talk to pastors and say, Eric, you're actually talking about all those zeros, right? So, yeah, 5 to 10 million people. You're going sometimes into 182 nations of the world, nations like Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, China, Indonesia, Pakistan, India, some of the hardest-reached nations of the world. Are get this signal and people are responding and receiving Christ as Savior. I mean, it's really, and they say, Eric, that's more people that I've ministered to if I put all my 30 years of ministry together in one 20-minute message. So, Pastor, that's the day in which we live in. That's what's so exciting is that we can use technology, right? And we can get it out at a scale like never before. And it's a great way. I always encourage people, at the local connector level, listen, these services will cost a whole lot more. We're doing this because we're in relationship with Pastor Jim and partnership with this network, and we want to make you significant. We want to give you tools and resources that you can tap into that today, if you said yes, you can have these resources. You can have, great artwork. You can have a wonderful website. You can have social media. You can be preaching the gospel, into multiple nations on a monthly basis. You can have great live streaming and other opportunities as well. But it's all about building the kingdom. And what is so exciting is that, we get to live in this day. This is not the Apostle Paul. This is not Abraham. We're here today because God believes we're the best for this time. And we can use these resources to win people for Christ in scales like never before.
Well, Eric, we did this at the conference to some degree, but we're doing this because we feel like God's given us a mandate, really. I mean, it's a mandate. As the seed of Abraham, we're to bless the world. We're to be the light that's reaching dark places. And so we looked at maps and we saw that literally there are millions of people that are waiting for the church to be the church. And that's what our focus is. And that's why when you and I came together, we had the talk and I said, listen to me, I'm never going to take one penny in my lifetime, not one penny that comes from a church, a significant church. It's all going to help pastors reach the dream that God put in their heart. I don't need to, And you came and honestly, you didn't say this. And if you're not comfortable, you don't have to. but the services that you're giving normally cost a whole lot more, but you're doing it because you feel like you have a call to souls. And we want to see pastors come together, get the things they need, and we want to see souls come into the kingdom, which is what it's all about.
It is. The Bible says, we all know that scripture verse well, right? He who wins souls is wise. And yeah, you're right. The services that you would get for just $100 a monthly gift to Significant Church, honestly, we would be charging probably $1,500 a month for the exact same services. But this is bigger than all of us, and we're just excited, to be a bridge, right? To be a conduit, if you will, to give pastors. Again, churches that have 100 people, 20 people, 2,000 people, they're all tapping into services, and they're seeing amazing things take place. Not only are they seeing these things take place both domestic around the world, but they're seeing their churches grow, and that's what we're excited about, because as these pastors continue to grow, they can add more staff members, they can duplicate themselves, and in turn, they can have more impact and reach more people and change more lives.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, again, Ephesians 3:20, God wants to help you reach not what you're thinking about, but greater than you're thinking about. And God wants to make things come to pass, not that you can make happen in your own power, but things that can only happen because His wisdom has taken you way further than you ever thought you could go. His power is creating favor for your future, and it's bringing things to pass you could never see come to pass without who God is. So I just want to encourage you, Pastor, don't live isolated, because isolation is what's killing pastors. And together we can have so much fun together. We can just experience God's presence. And we all know how to hear God, right? We know when we're in the midst of people and we go, it's just something not right there, right? But I promise you, if you come in the midst of the guys that God's joined together in a Significant Church, you're going to leave saying something's very right here. God's up to something, and I really love these people. And when we started, honestly, because the way I am, I've had friends since forever. I'm still in touch with friends from high school. And so I didn't think I would, like, necessarily my best friends would come out of Significant Church, because I have some great friends. But I'm telling you, some of my best friends came out of Significant Church, and just the relationships that God's privileged me to build. And so I'm so grateful for that. Well, Eric, we were going to take the last 10 minutes, and because we've talked about things that I think resonated with their hearts about the church and what God has for them. And we have the conference on video. I'm not sure, but if you contact us, I can ask my son, Michael, what was produced. And some of you may really enjoy hearing some of those sessions. So just let us know if that's in your heart. But Eric, just go ahead and tell us one of these amazing miracles you've seen, so we can all just rejoice in the power of the Holy Spirit before we go today.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Jim. And again, the title of today's message is Joining God in the Impossible. So, as I shared earlier into this message, I had the privilege of serving lots of wonderful men of God. R.W. Schambach, we've done things with Teal Osborne, Reinhard Bonnke, my pastor, Peter Dosik. These are all just amazing, strong miracle ministries. And of course, Brother Schambach, I had the privilege of going to your church with Brother Schambach, of course, back in the late 90s. And every time we would go to churches, he would always be asked this question almost every time without any doubt. It'd be like, Brother Schambach, tell me the greatest miracle that you ever saw. And it would be without any hesitation, without any slowness to the process. He said, it was the miracle where I saw a boy who had 26 major diseases get healed. And they said, can you tell me that story? So I'd like to share that story, Pastor Jim, and that's okay, because I believe it's really going to bless those watching and help them to understand that, again, God can do anything through anybody. We just got to be that willing vessel. So this is going back into the late 50s, okay, well before my time, thankfully. Maybe some of you around that time frame. But Brother Schambach worked for a man of God by the name of A.A. Allen. And for those of you who don't know who A.A. Allen was, he was a tent evangelist. Of course, back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, even the 60s, tents were a big thing because auditoriums weren't developed where you could hold, 8, 10,000 people. Now think about this. Brother Allen's tent could hold over 10,000 people. It was bigger than a football field.
Wow.
And so it's just amazing to think about how many people, and the people would come out, and these tent meetings would be for 30 days, three services a day. In all times of the seasons, so sometimes we get, like, hey, we got school going on, we're sporting events. Back then, it was like, this was the biggest thing happening. They came out every night, and the tent just kept growing and growing and growing. Well, in between tent meetings, Brother Schaumbach and Brother Allen would go to like auditoriums. So they do a 30-day tent crusade. They got to take the tent down. They got to set up somewhere else. So they would do meetings in between. And this is going back now to into the late 1950s. And Brother Schaumbach was with Brother Allen, and they were doing a meeting at the Birmingham Fairgrounds. They were there for 7 days. And Brother Schaumbach, back in those days, he was actually the afternoon speaker, and then he was the praise and worship leader. So you can imagine what that must have looked like in a Holy Ghost service. Brother Schaumbach, he said, every day I saw this woman and she came to me. I saw in the services, I'm just trying to preach faith into her heart. I saw she came with somebody and she had a child that she was always carrying. And this was now the last, this was the last day. This was Brother Schaumbach's last day session. And then Brother Allen was going to be the last evening session was going to be that night. And she came to Brother Schaumbach after he ministered on a day session and said, Brother Schaumbach, I have been here this entire week. I came from Knoxville, Tennessee, came here to Birmingham, Alabama, because I'm just believing God for a miracle. My boy was born with 26 major diseases.
Wow. Wow.
And the boy's tongue hung out on his chin. The boy was blind. He had milky color eyes. He was deaf. His arms were matted to his chest. His knees was pushed in towards belly button. The boy had no feet, was born without feet. He had no male organs, and just about every organ in his body had deformities, liver, kidneys, heart. And she said, the doctors told me, Brother Schaumbach, that this boy would not see its first birthday. And he's here today. He's 4 years old right now. I have to go back to Knoxville, of course, after tonight's service. And I have $20 left in my pocket. And I've been giving in every service. I've been eating three meals a day. I've been giving the offerings every service. Will Brother Allen please pray for my child? And Brother Schaumbach said, ma'am, your story, it really touches my heart. He said, I can't apologize for the way the Holy Spirit uses Brother Allen. However, he said, if he doesn't call that boy out tonight, your child out tonight, or doesn't call to pray for him tonight, I will personally take that boy and take him to Brother Allen's trailer house. And that's what they traveled in back in those days. They lived in trailers, small, 20 by 30 trailers. And he said, I promise you, I'll have Brother Allen pray for that child. And she said, Brother Schaumbach, you do that? I said, ma'am, I'd be happy to. So service opens up that night, and Brother Allen comes on the platform. I don't know, Brother Pastor Jim or others on this call, have you ever seen a Brother Allen service? You can go to YouTube and watch it. He was very flamboyant. He was always moving, that kind of stuff. And the way the Lord's used Brother Allen is like he could actually see like a movie playing, and that was the way he would get these word of knowledges. And so Brother Allen that night comes on the platform. There's about 3,000 people packed out in that auditorium. And Brother Allen comes out and says, tonight we're going to take, of course, to receive an offering. And they said, tonight we're going to take an offering, and tonight's going to be an offering of faith. And Brother Allen said, he looked at the crowd, and the crowd looked at him kind of puzzled, like, what are you trying to say, Brother Allen? This is the way he said, and I'm just telling the way Brother Schaumbach shared it with me. He said, now, for those of you who don't understand what that is, that means you're going to give something to God that you can't afford to give. So he received the offering that night. And the first person that came to give an offering that night was that woman with that four-year-old boy. She put the boy into her friend's hands and then ran down the aisle and put a $20 bill, that's all she had, in that bucket. And Brother Schaumbach said, I saw her come down that aisle and I jumped off the platform because I'm nosy. I wanted to see what was in that bucket. I know she told me she only had $20 that afternoon. And so he said, when I saw that, he said, I went behind the platform, began to weep like a baby. He said, Lord, I've been trying to preach faith in that woman's heart all this week. And Lord, give me faith like I just saw demonstrated. Because he said she would do anything to see that boy have a miracle. So she gave it all. And she told Brother Schaumbach, think about this, $20 was all she had. $15 was supposed to be for the doctor's appointment she was going to have as soon as she got back to Knoxville, Tennessee. And $5 was for gas. Of course, Brother Schaumbach would say, that's when gas was 18 cents a gallon. I wish we all experienced that nowadays. So Brother Allen comes out, he receives the offering. And about 5 minutes into the message, he says, I'm being caught up in the spirit right now. And Brother Schaumbach's thinking to himself, oh my gosh, here we go on another trip. Brother, that's how Brother Allen would be used every single night. And then Brother Allen starts saying, now, I see this big white building, and I see it looks like it's a hospital. I see a big cross on it, and I'm hearing babies crying. And he said, I know I'm in a maternity ward right now. Okay, I'm in a maternity ward. And the Lord's just showing him this. And he said, I see this is in Knoxville, Tennessee. I see doctors around a woman who just gave birth to a child, and the child was, and there's about 10 or 12 doctors around them, and they look concerned. And the doctors are saying the boy has been born with 8, 12, 16, 20, 26 major diseases. And when Brother Shambach heard that, he said he jumped up out of his chair.
Wow.
He said,
wow.
Tonight is that boy's night. And he said, ma'am, I'm seeing in this vision, I'm seeing this woman with her child. The child was supposed to die. It wouldn't live to be 1 year of age. The doctors were wrong. The child's now 4. I see her traveling with a friend. I see the Tennessee-Alabama border. He said, ma'am, I see your vehicle pulling on this property right now. Bring me your baby, and God's going to give you 26 miracles. And that woman ran down the aisle with that 4-year-old boy in her arms this night. And Brother Allen put, can I hold the child? She says, of course, Brother Allen, and gave the child to her, to him. He began to pray. He said, now, here's what I want you to do, everybody, 3,000 people. I want you to close your eyes and begin to pray. And Brother Shambach said, brother, I'm going to be scriptural tonight. I'm going to watch him pray. I've been praying for that woman for seven days, and I'm going to see what God's going to do myself. And so Brother Shambach, you know, he's watching everything. And Brother Allen just begins to say a simple prayer. So, Lord, you know, Lord Jesus, by the stripes you bore, this child is well and whole. And I thank you for touching him tonight. I thank you for the miracle coming underneath my hand. Let the nail-scarred hand of Calvary touch this baby and let this child be made well. Brother Shambach said, I watched this with my own eyes. The first thing I saw that boy's tongue that was hanging out on his tongue snap back into its mouth, just like it was a rubber band, that fast. He said, then I began to look at the child's eyes, and the eyes looked like they had whirlpools going. They were swirling now. They were milky color, but now they're swirling. He said, within a few seconds, I saw two beautiful brown eyes.
Wow.
Brother Shambach said, he sensed in his heart that God opened his eyes, the Lord touched his ears. And then he said, the next thing I saw and actually heard, I told you how the arms were matted to the chest, the legs, the knees were in the belly button. He said, it sounded like cordwood breaking. I saw the arms begin to stretch out. And then I saw the legs begin to stretch out.
Wow.
And Brother Shambach says it this way. He said, now, I remember playing with silly putty. I guess back then they had silly putty as well. And he said, it looked as if I saw, of course, I told you the boy had no feet. He said, I saw God create feet on that boy.
Wow.
With my own eyes.
Wow.
And he said, it looked like silly putty being expanded.
Wow.
And he said, I literally saw the toes come into existence. And he said, when this miracle happened, he said, the Brother Allen put the child down. And of course, the child couldn't speak. The tongue was hanging out of his mouth. The boy runs to its mother for the first time, jumps in the mother's arms and said, mama, for the very first time. The place just broke out in praise and giving God praise. But that wasn't the end of the miracle. He said, that night, we had, back in those days, people would bring, they would literally bring stretchers,
wow.
Pastor Jim, from wow. hospitals.
Yeah,
they would
yeah.
check people
out. No, I've been in places like that, yeah.
Yeah, and they literally had about 10 or 12 stretchers there. They have nurses there. They have, these people have IV bags hanging. These are terminal people. They were going to die. Many had cancer and various terminal diseases. There was about 10 or 12 people in wheelchairs. And he said, that night, Eric, after we saw that miracle happen, everyone's eyes went to the people in wheelchairs, and we had the wheelchairs on one side of the platform. And he said, just like a maestro sergeant, like a sergeant giving a command, he said,
wow.
every one of those people
wow.
jumped out of the wheelchair simultaneously,
wow.
completely healed,
wow.
completely healed.
Wow.
All the pain was gone. And then he said the crowd went from the wheelchairs to the people in the stretchers. And just within seconds of the people in the wheelchair standing up, people literally took IVs out. They're ripping them out of their arms. It's all the pain is gone. They stepped out. They walked out of that building completely pain-free
wow.
and healed
wow.
by the power of God. He said, then people started coming down the altar, and they're putting hearing aids. But hearing aids back in the 50s were like, he said, like transistor radios were like this big. He said, they started throwing them on the platform. And then he said, and people said, we can hear. Our deaf ears are open. Then he talks about six people coming down that were blind. They had those canes with red, you know, 6 inches red on the bottom of it. He said, canes are flying through the air. They're saying, we're healed as well. And so he said, Brother Samak said, that night, Eric, I've never seen it before, nor had I seen it since. He felt like the Lord himself, God himself, came in that building and touched every single person. He said, Eric, everyone that was in that building made a miracle, had a miracle that night. So that was Brother Samak would tell that story on, you know, national TV and these churches. And but the thing is, again, as I said before, God's not a respecter of persons. And what he did with Brother Schaumbach or through Brother Schaumbach or Brother Allen, he could do that through us as well. We just got to be yielded vessels. And what a night that must have been to see everyone in that building receive a miracle.
Wow. Wow. Well, I knew Brother Schaumbach. I love Brother Schaumbach. He called me his Pennsylvania buddy. And I was just a young preacher, and he was this guy that was amazing. But two things I'll say about Brother Schaumbach. Number one, I never saw anybody love people more. I used to love walking with him from the back of a crowd just to watch how he loved people. The second thing, he is a great storyteller. So for you to be able to tell one of his stories, you did really good telling that story. But I just want to encourage everybody, that is the God that's with me, and that is a God who's with you. And Eric knows a little bit about this, but I was raised in a Catholic family, 17 years of CCD through my senior year of high school. I received my Holy Communion, First Communion. I was confirmed, baptized as a baby. And I knew a little bit about the charismatic people because we'd have some people lifted their hands in front of our little Catholic church, and we all wondered why they do that. But I didn't know anything about the supernatural power of God like what you're talking about. So I was headed to Arizona to play baseball, go to college, and my van broke down by Oral Roberts University, which how big of a miracle is that, you know? Now, some people say it's a miracle it broke down. I say it might have been a miracle it made it 1,000 miles if you'd seen that van. But I still go to the university and I think, what are the odds that my van would break down right here? And then I remember they played Arizona State in the College World Series the year before. So I just went in and I met the coach, Coach Larry Cushell, and he took me out in the field. Next thing you knew, I was at ORU and I was on the baseball team and I was going to college there. But there's something called the Holy Spirit Library there. And I wanted to know what I believed. And so I would go up there and for hours I would watch those things or I would listen to those things. A lot of them were on those old reel-to-reel machines because I wanted to know what was going on. And I just want to encourage us pastors, his yoke's easy, his burden's light. Let's, we talked about this at the conference, but let's give God all the time he asked for us for this year. Let's not ask God to bless our schedules. Let's let God set the schedule. And then let's just let the Holy Spirit, anybody in a significant church doesn't have a kooky bone in their body. They don't even like the spooky natural, you know. But, man, we hunger for the supernatural. And we want to see God do everything that's in his heart in this time. So let's covenant together. Let's fast a little more this year. Let's give God all the time he asks for. And let's stay connected to each other. And let's just see what God does in the days ahead. Eric, I'm just so grateful. I want to tell the guys, too, that the thing I didn't talk about is there's also a lot of great missions going on through Significant Church. So Mike Patton, I mean, he's doing such a great job in Central America. Sure. And Serge, Steve Mills, some of these guys, what they're doing is just amazing. We're doing a lot in India. We've got amazing 600-700 churches where they've never been churches before. Sex trafficking being stopped in villages and churches being planted in their place. And if you want to go with somebody, man, just call. Let us know. In March, I'll be going to India to be with our missionaries. And then after that, I'm going to be in Germany and I'm going to be speaking to pastors from across Europe that are gathering there because they want to see the Holy Spirit win hearts and disciple people in the darkest, most difficult places in the world to reach. And so we'll spend 3 days helping their churches figure out how to do that. But I just want to encourage you, Jesus is the apostle and the high priest of your faith, and he wants to cause that dream he put into your heart to become a reality. And man, no better day to start than today in terms of letting God do that. So Eric, I'll let you have the last word. And then if you'll pray for the pastors, I want to thank you for being with us. And I'm going to look forward to being together again here in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much, Pastor Jim. Yeah. I encourage you too. Again, I'm a few days away from going to Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, with hundreds of thousands expected to attend. I'm going to be taking my fifth trip to Pakistan on March the 6th. Crusades of 60,000 to 80,000 people. So I encourage you, listen, if any of that stuff excites you, you know, Pastor Jim and I, we love winning souls. I know he's a missionary at heart. I think I am too. I love seeing the impact. And when you think about like 2.5, 2.6 billion people have never known the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, there's opportunities all over the world. Yeah, and there's so many things that you can tap into. And Significant Church is allowing you to do that, to help go out and preach the gospel at scales and at levels that maybe you wouldn't be able to do it. But that's what we want to do. We want to duplicate ourselves. The more we do this, the more we're going to see the Lord Jesus come back. And that's what we all want to see, obviously. So yeah, it's just been a great time to live in. And I encourage you, pastors, you know what, you know, as Pastor Jim mentioned, you know, it's, you know, as we seek the Lord, as we begin to pray and we begin to fast more, we're taking time for the God, you know, again, as Pastor Jim just mentioned, not building our schedules, let the Lord put all that together. We're going to see God do amazing things in 2023. And I just want to pray for everybody today as we close out and just speak a blessing over you. So, Father, I just thank you right now. I thank you, God, for every person on this call and those that will be watching this through the archive. God, I thank you, God, that all things are possible for those who believe. And I thank you, God, that, Lord, your anointing and your equipping pastors, God, I thank you. You've given them all great callings to be wonderful pastors in the cities. I thank you for increase for them, Lord, in their churches. I thank you for, as the Bible says, the churches are added to daily. I thank you for adding to people on a daily basis, God, giving pastors wonderful staffs and support bases that will help them. We thank you, God, for we know the word does not return void, but accomplish what it's sent forth to do. And as people are speaking the word in churches and as they do different opportunities, Lord, I thank you, God, for many people coming to Christ, Lord God. Lord, it's an honor and privilege to be called a son and a daughter of you, the Most High God. And we thank you, God, for just these wonderful men and women of God that are on this call today and watching this. Lord, I just thank you, God. Let 2023 be their greatest years ever, Lord God. We thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, guys, thank you so much for loving God's people. Thank you so much for loving the lost in your city that God longs to love. Thank you for caring about the condition of people all over the world. We're going to pray you have an amazing weekend, just filled with the Holy Spirit. We believe God's doing a work of unity in your church, and we're just so thrilled that we have the opportunity to walk alongside you as that's going on. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks. God bless you.